Like to call the legislative hearing for the town of Curie Beach, Friday, December 15th, in the council chambers at 2 p.m. And the first order of business, we need to excuse, get a motion to excuse Dennis Pinnacalli.
So moved.
Second.
Have a motion, second. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Okay. The purpose of this meeting is to present the draft beach management plan to the town and to the public, receive any comments from the town and public, and get approval from the town to finalize the plan and submit to the Division of Coastal Management. The notice of the hearing was posted in the Pleasure Island News on November 30th, 2023, and December 6th, 2023, and was posted on the town website on November 27th, 2023, and on the town bulletin board. We have today with Moffitt and Nicole, Nicole Vanderbeck, excuse me, Nicole, I should have asked you before I started, with Moffitt and Nicole, and she's going to present the a little presentation here, and then we'll go into the public input part of it. So, Nicole, it's yours.
We were contracted by the town of Curie Beach to develop a beach management plan for submittal to Division of Coastal Management and the Coastal Resources Commission. So I've kind of come here today to explain what that is, present a summary of the plan to the town and public, and just address any comments or questions, because there is a public involvement process that's required as part of this, so that's what this satisfies today. And then also, like I said, get approval from the town to move forward with finalizing the plan and submitting it. So we'll go through a little bit of an introduction about what this plan is for and the reasons we're here today. And then we'll discuss a summary of the plan, which basically just involves a synopsis of your historical and ongoing Corps of Engineers nourishment project. We'll look at the future nourishment plans, financial resources, summarize the public involvement, and then kind of give an idea of what the next steps are. So back in around 2008-2009, the state initiated something called the static line exception process, through which communities that maintain their beaches can apply for an exception to the use of the static vegetation line, which was determined by the Division of Coastal Management through historical aerial photography, from which to measure the oceanfront construction setback. So that this meant that in areas where the existing vegetation line was seaward of the static vegetation line, that there was some flexibility regarding construction setbacks. In 2016, the state amended these rules to add the option for use of the development line, which the town of Curie Beach went through and sought approval for. And I think they were applied and were approved in 2017. But the Coastal Resources Commission recently amended these rules, and as part of that, they have eliminated the development line as an option for measuring construction setbacks. And they are basically requiring submittal of this beach management plan in order to get the construction setback flexibility. And they're now calling what they used to call a static vegetation line, they're now calling the pre-project vegetation line. So, same thing, but just a different name now. And basically the beach management plan, what they're requiring is review of historical beach fill projects, the review of the design and monitoring of the project, review of sediment resources, review of financial plan, and review of public comments. And they just want to basically see that towns have actually a 30-year commitment moving forward to maintaining their beaches in order to allow for this flexibility of construction setbacks. And as I mentioned, the development line previously used by Curie Beach expired on August 1st, 2022, so that's why it's important that we submit this and get it approved so that the construction setback flexibility can be regained by the town. So I just kind of wanted to show everybody a little example of what I'm talking about. So the red line on this map is what the Division of Coastal Management has determined to be the pre-project line. So as you can see in this example and along most of Curry Beach, the line is fairly close to the oceanfront structures. So without a beach management plan in place, this is the line that has to be used to measure the construction setbacks. And they are kind of graded by size of structure. But basically, you know, for most houses, you're going to need about, 2 times the setback or 30 times the setback factor, which is around 2 for most of Curry Beach. So you're going to need 60 feet of vegetation line in order to rebuild exactly where the current structures are for houses like 5,000 square feet or under. And as you move up to like a house maybe greater than 5,000 square feet, it's going to double to 120 feet. So what happens is if this doesn't get submitted, a lot of these structures would not meet that 60 to 120 foot setback requirement and they would not be able to be rebuilt. So moving on to just a summary of what this plan is, the first project was authorized in 1962 with the Carolina Beach project. It was not constructed until 1997. However, they do projects approximately every 3 years, and the current authorization for the Corps of Engineers projects extends through 2047. And here's a table of the 8 of 9 projects that have occurred since construction. And we've had an average placement, with the exception of the initial construction, of about 628,000 cubic yards. Here's a plot kind of showing where the sand was placed and some volumes over the years. As you can see, the first two projects went through the entire extent of the authorized template. And I do want to point out that the Curry Beach CSRM project does go slightly into the municipal Carolina Beach boundary, just that southern end. But the first two projects, they did the whole beach. After monitoring, they realized the middle portion of the project doesn't require as much sand, so they would only place it in the northern and southern ends for many years. As we kind of approached 2022, the most recent project, they finally went back and did the whole thing again because the erosion in that middle portion had finally caught up and needed some nourishment. So the Corps uses their monitoring to decide where to put the sand each time that it's nourished. So there's approximately 18,000 linear feet. There is a transition on the south end. The project does stop about 1,000 feet short of the town boundary of Fort Fisher. And there's also a 1,500 foot transition at the south end. So like the full template goes to around transect 18 or so, and then they have to taper back to the existing ground, and like I said, the northern project limit extends about 3,500 feet into the southern Carolina Beach. The design template, 25 foot wide dune at elevation 12.5, there's a 50 foot wide storm berm at elevation 8, and then a variable width construction berm at 5.5. Usually it's on an order of around 100 feet, but it just kind of depends on what the project needs at that point in time and also funding from the Corps. And then there's a 15-to-1 slope down to existing ground. As far as the nourishment cycle, the agreement between the Corps of Engineers and the town of Curry Beach states that they'll do the nourishment every 3 years unless monitoring shows that it should be something different. And since the initial construction in 97, projects have occurred every 3 years. And it's expected that that will remain the nourishment interval going throughout the life of this current authorization. Which means there's 8 additional projects anticipated through 2047. In terms of borrow area information, there has been some recent studies on the makeup of the native beach sand by CP&E. Back in 2013-2014, the Division of Coastal Management requires borrow sources to fall within a certain range of the native beach. And then they also required a new kind of class survey, which is counts of larger rocks and shells, to be done in 2021. So we have all this information about the native beach, and then what the Corps has to do is make sure that the borrower is sand matches fairly well. So for Curry Beach, they've historically used offshore borrow areas. There was a borrow area in the southern end of Curry Beach that was used from 1997 to 2010. That's called Borrow Area A. Then more recently, from 2013 to 2022, they've used Borrow Area B, which is in the northern end of Curry Beach. In 2019, the Corps of Engineers went back and reanalyzed some old vibe reports from Borrow Area B just to make sure that everything was compatible. What they found was that all the sand in Borrow Area B was compatible. There was more compatibility in the northwestern half, or larger volumes in the northwestern half of the area. But nonetheless, a lot of compatible material. As of right now, there's probably around 9.7 million cubic yards of material remaining in Borrow Area B, which, based on average placements, since the project construction was initiated, that gets Curry Beach another 14 or 15 projects potentially. So that's enough sand for well into the future and well beyond the 30 years of planning required by the Coastal Resources Commission. One other thing the Corps of Engineers recently did in 2019 was just reevaluated the dredge depths, because there was, I guess, a dredge went slightly below where they were supposed to in the 2016 project and encountered some pretty incompatible material, so the Corps wanted to make sure that that didn't happen again, so they did revise the dredge depths recently, but nonetheless, there's still a large amount of material left in the borrow area. And then it should also be noted, Carolina Beach Inlet could also be a supplemental source. The inlet is generally used for the Carolina Beach portion of the project, but they may not use all the material out of it, and it could be considered as a potentially supplemental source in the future. When you have material coming from borrow areas and inlets, the only compatibility they look at is the percent fines. The Corps of Engineers wants less than 10% fines, and that's been proven over and over again to come out of Carolina Beach. Basically, they put it on the beach, and the material just goes right back in the inlet. So kind of recycling the same amount of material, but nonetheless, it's kind of good to have this supplemental source in addition to the offshore borrow area. And then as part of some monitoring, just back as of May 2023, just to kind of give you an idea as to what's in the inlet, there was probably about 1.2 million cubic yards within the Carolina Beach inlet borrow area. So in terms of project monitoring and performance, the Corps of Engineers does conduct their surveys at least annually. They do it more than once a year, sometimes when there's a storm. And over the history of the project, for the most part, the dune has remained intact. I think there's sometimes some dune erosion on the southern end of the project, but the nourishment efforts typically refocus on, restoration of the storm berm or the construction berm. They did find through monitoring, as I noted earlier, the volume losses from the southern portion of the project area are the most significant. So they usually put the largest fill densities from station 130 to 180, and then maybe some smaller fill densities up towards the north. And they only nourish the entire 10 flood lanes needed. And also kind of the county, so in addition to the Corps, the county actually has its own annual monitoring program since 2014, where they take surveys along the same transects that the Corps uses, and they often provide this data to the Corps, just so that the Corps has some extra data to work with. And that's, you can see at Carolina and Curry Beach, so they do both projects. And the monitoring program basically establishes annual shoreline changes and volume changes each year. They do volume changes of several different elevations, so you can kind of see what's going on the beach and offshore. So it's a very comprehensive assessment, and we do provide the same data and the report to the Corps of Engineers for their use in their studies. Yes.
So this might be for Layton, but it could be for you. Is that data is publicly available? So if like Ocean Dunes wanted it, Layton, they could get that data? Because
the survey data?
Yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Because that issue of the South End plays to the issue they're having. I'm surprised they're not here, actually, but I just wanted to make sure it is. Okay.
Absolutely.
And it goes back all the way to 95 for Curie Beach?
The county's surveying started in 2014. And then we had four or five core data sets that were usable.
Yeah, I think so we were actually about five, maybe 2006.
Okay. So we've got about 15, 16 years.
Okay. That's probably plenty. We're just working with them, supporting them. And I think data is a good thing, especially this shows their issue pretty graphically. Thanks. Thank you, ma'am.
Also in the monitoring program, we do try to kind of track each nourishment cycle. So how much was placed versus how much was lost each year. And as we kind of build on more nourishment cycles, we'll start to see trends. Is it very similar each time? Do we get a lot of different things? We don't really know yet. We track two cycles, but it's good to see how much was placed versus how much was lost each time. So that's what we're kind of trying to establish what that pattern looks like. As far as future nourishment plans, like I said, there's 8 more projects anticipated under the current Corps of Engineers authorization. And as right now, the town intends to continue cooperation on extension of the federal project past 2047. If kind of as a backup plan, though, if core funding were not to come to fruition or some other issue with bar resources, the county has taken some really good steps to do some of the engineering work in case there ever needed to be a locally constructed project. As a part of a different contract from the monitoring, there was some modeling performed to develop what we call nourishment triggers. So rather than a nourishment project being based on a set cycle, you would only nourish when you need sand. So it depends on, it could be 4 years one time, could be 6 years one time, but you only nourish when you need sand. Sure. And the idea is to provide an equivalent level of protection to all of Curie Beach. So what we've done is gone through and established what we call a nourishment trigger, which is the volume of sand from the first row structures out to minus 14 that's required to withstand a certain intensity of storm. So in the case of Curie Beach, we're using a 25-year storm. We've decided how much volume you need on the beach in different sections of Curie Beach in order to withstand a 25-year storm. And we usually track the volume during the annual monitoring as compared to the nourishment triggers just to see, is this Corps of Engineers project keeping up with what could potentially be done locally if it needed to be? The answer is yes. Basically, the northern and central portions of Curie Beach are always well above the nourishment triggers. The southern end of Curie Beach does kind of approach it throughout the course of nourishment cycle, but typically the Corps kind of gets there right in time and replenishes. So it's just nice to know that the county has done some engineering work. So if something other needed to happen, they're not starting from scratch. And in addition, the county already holds the permits for construction of a project like this. So, that puts Curie Beach or the other two projects, Wrightsville and Carolina, in a really good position if something were to not work out with the core project. And it's just kind of a little bit of a backup plan.
So this will only be if the feds don't participate,
yeah.
Right? Okay, I just want to make sure I understood, right?
So
there's no proposal to change the current schedule unless the federal government funds go
exactly.
away. Okay, thank you.
The plan is to keep going with this. We just want the Coastal Resources Commission to realize that the county and towns have put in some effort to understand, mm-hmm. Federal dollars don't always just show up.
Yep, I understand.
So it's just kind of a good plan B and a good thing to happen there. As far as the cost share formula, there's the federal, state, and local cost share. The cost share, the county pays for the local portion out of the room occupancy taxes collected from Wrightsville, Carolina, and Curie, and there's an interlocal agreement amongst the towns and county that's how it's going to work. Looking over the most kind of recent 10 years of financial data, the room occupancy tax allocated towards beach nourishment is 60% of the first 3%. Just for an order of magnitude, 2022 room occupancy tax collections that went towards nourishment were $6.1 million. Over the last 10 years, the average annual expenditures have been 3.6 million, while the average annual collections have been 4.7 million. So since on average annually, the collections are higher than the expenditures, that has allowed a balance to grow in the Beach Nourishment Fund that's now at $51.3 million, and that was started, you know, probably back in 1987, I want to say. So that's a good sign that the county and towns have always had plenty of money to pay for their portion. And also, if needed, you know, the $50 million could pay for each project, you know, in its entirety once, you know, before needing to come up with it. So if there's an emergency, the money's already there to, like, have an emergency kind of one-time nourishment that figure out, you know, future plans for funding. As I mentioned earlier, and kind of why we're, one of the reasons we're here today is as part of the Beach Management Plan, the Coastal Resources Commission wanted to include a public involvement process. So, as Mayor mentioned, this was advertised earlier and a draft report was provided for download. You know, you could have written or in-person comments today. We're here today to present, and all these comments will be summarized, and if any, you know, changes need to be made in the plan, that will all be done and included, and everything will be summarized, included in the appendix, and then we can also change some of the document if anything is needed. And then the next steps after this, hopefully with approval, to move forward, we would finalize the plan. We have a deadline to submit to the Division of Coastal Management by January 5th. I'd like to maybe get it in next week, if at all possible, before Christmas, but they need 6 weeks to review before they can go to the Coastal Resources Commission. So what they'll do is if we submit it in the next couple weeks, they'll go ahead and review, and about 10 days prior to the Coastal Resources Commission meeting, the Division of Coastal Management will give their recommendation, and the town will get a copy of that. And then we would go to the Coastal Resources Commission on February 21st and 22nd and present the same thing. The Division of Coastal Management will also present their recommendation, and the Coastal Resources Commission would vote to approve the beach management plan. So that's kind of how we're seeing this working out. You know, just in summary, this has been a really successful project since 1997. You know, there's a three-year nourishment interval. There have been eight projects since initial construction. There's eight more anticipated. The Barra source currently has 9.7 million cubic yards, so that's good for well into the future. The Corps and the county both do monitoring and kind of work to help each other figure out what's going on. But basically all the analysis has shown that, you know, the template and the Barra source have worked really well for this project throughout the history, and you know, could continue to work well in the future. And as far as financial resources, the county has built up this beach nourishment fund that, meaning they're collecting enough occupancy taxes to pay for everything, and you know, we would expect that trend to continue in the future. So there should be no doubt for the Coastal Resources Commission that the this can all continue to be paid for as well. So with that, I will take any questions or comments.
Okay, at this point, I need to open the legislative hearing for comments from citizens on the plan. I have one person signed up, but if you'd like to speak to this, make comments for this hearing. So I will open this public comment period now. Our first person I have signed up is James Craig. Jim, if you'd like to come to the podium and name and address, please.
The first and only. My name is James Craig. I am at 121 North Fifth Avenue. So in disclosure of who I am, I live 400 yards back from the beach. I've been here for 10 years. I'm retired, but for 30 years before that, I worked for the federal agency that did offshore leasing, oil and gas, sand and gravel, or the BOE, whatever they're called. And before that, there was MMS, so I'm an alumni from that. I worked on several of these projects in different states, Hawaii, Alaska, California. have a PhD in oceanography. A lot of numbers, a lot of legislative history on this. It's, you know, I see the process going on, but it seems to me it's focused entirely on protection of the first row structures. And while worthy, there's a lot of other user groups that use this beach that has not been discussed at all in this plan or incorporated. And it would help me a lot, so I didn't have to raise my wave my hands too much, is if you could go onto that template of the cross section. Can you find that? Or,
sure, sure.
And that'll help me help me through this in the interest of time.
Page 10.
Page 7.
Well, at least it's page 10 in our notes, so I'm assuming.
What?
I was telling whoever's looking for it, page 10.
So I'm going to speak about the other groups that are interested in this project or are affected. Okay, this is great. So this is collapsed greatly in terms of distance, hundreds of feet this way, feet on this scale, hundreds of feet this way. So the profile is not as extreme as it is here, but this is a good example. So here's the user groups that I see using the beach. There are the people that sit on the beach and wade in the water up in here. This is called, they call that the wading zone. Then there's a lot of people that come down here, stay in motels, and hit the, and, or a lot of people in this area in the spring and fall that are real concerned with this area right here. That's the trough. So that's where all the fishermen are throwing their lines to try to catch something. Then there's this user group out here that I am amongst that are surfers who ride waves that break on this outer bar. And then it drops off. So you can see we're all accustomed to use these three zones, and you're going to take this and artificially build this. This is the new shore profile way out here. Great, it moves the beach out, lots more room to lay your towel and sit, but it creates difference. If this is gone, the bar, the offshore bar is covered up, the trough is definitely covered up, and all this high energy waves that used to break on this bar come right in and slam on a relatively steep beach for the kiddies that are frolicking right off the beach. So it's a, it creates a dangerous situation next to the beach and basically eliminates these, you know, any benefit for these two user groups. Long term, there's a lot of studies on grain size and all that. I'm in marine geology. That's the focus on it, sedimentology and all that. And I could talk about this in great detail. We don't really have time for that, but the stuff that you're putting there to fill is different. So the fish are different, things change, and it affects the fishing. There's no sand fleas on the beach because they don't like the stuff you're putting there. Fishing's dropping off, surf goes away. So there's other user groups involved, and now we're just focusing on the front row people who are largely absentee landlords. There are not many people staying in these houses right now. They're all owners from someplace else. People that live here that use these parts of the beach are greatly affected by it. It's done every 3 years. So it takes a couple of years to recover. Right now we're kind of recovered back into this profile. Sand fleas are still gone. But by the time things get sort of back to normal, then you do another replenishment cycle and it screws it all up for another 3 years. So all I'm saying is that there's other groups that live in Curry Beach, like me, or come here to visit, spend a lot of money to come here and recreate in the ocean, and these people are left completely out of this, mentioned in this plan, to focus on absentee landowners on the first row. So I guess that's, and if more time, I have more things to say, but if you have any questions, you know who I am.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Any other comments from the public? Any from council?
Not me.
So, will we leave this open for a period of time for people to send comments in to y'all to submit, or do we cut it off today?
We're going to cut it off today.
Okay. Hearing no other comments, I would entertain a motion to close the public hearing. Legislative hearing, excuse me.
Motion to close. Sorry, Mr. Mayor, you got to close the public comment period first. So you
close.
Can do that.
Yes. Oh, I can do that. I'm sorry.
Yeah, and then you'll make your motion to adjourn your meeting.
Sorry. Okay. So we'll close the public.
We have approval from the town.
Right. Yes. We'll close the public comment
time.
Now, council, or y'all, we need a motion to move forward with submitting to the Coastal Resource Commission.
Yes, so I make a motion that we approve the plan as presented, amend to add the public comments, which were that other groups are not considered in the plan, but make a motion we approve the plan as presented with the amendments.
I'll second.
We have a motion and a second. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Okay. If I hear nothing else, I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
Make a motion to adjourn.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.